All right, we got to get going here. Good afternoon, Milwaukee. This is the Mark Belling Late Afternoon Show on News Talk 1130 WISN. You'd like to say that this is one of the weirder days in American history, but you get the impression that every day is just going to get weirder, that we are in very, very different times. Now, we have a lot going on. And in a way, it's all related. What's happening this afternoon in Washington, D.C. has been building for a very long time. I don't know how it's going to play itself out as the day goes along. And everybody has a lot of questions as to decisions that have been made so far and what led to all of this. So what I'm going to try to do is keep you updated on what's going on in Washington right now. We'll switch over from time to time to coverage from Fox and also share with you some thoughts on not only the situation in Washington, but what's led up to all of it. Because as I say, all of this stuff is connected. There is, among American conservatives, an enormous amount of frustration, anger, rage. Now, we generalize. Not everybody feels it. And some feel it much stronger than others. But it is out there, and people are doing things that they have never done before because they don't know what else to do. What you're seeing this afternoon in Washington is not unusual in this country. What you're seeing in Washington actually has been happening all year. What is unusual is who is doing it. If what was happening in Washington was happening in Madison, Wisconsin, it's a scene that I've seen probably 25 times. People run around the state capitol, trash the capitol, run around to the capitol lawn, carry on, rant and rave, make threats all the time. At our own Wisconsin state capitol, this past summer, a Wisconsin state senator was almost killed. Two blocks away from the state capitol, they tried to firebomb the county jail in Madison, which includes the city county building. They tore down statues outside the building. The building was breached repeatedly. We have rallies outside the Capitol in Washington all the time. You'll recall that only a handful of months ago, rioters from Antifa were outside the Capitol, starting fires, throwing objects at police, and so on. And when there was a response from Capitol Security, many on the left thought it was terrible that there was a response. So what's happening now is the same sort of thing that we've seen in the United States for a long time, including the entire past year. The only difference is that the people that are doing it are conservatives, they're Republicans, they're not burning the American flag, they're carrying the thing. What's happening today was not invented by anybody on the right. They're simply using a tactic that they've seen the left use for a long time and use all the time in the past year. No, that's not a defense of the tactic. It's simply the statement of a fact. There are many Republican elected officials who right now don't know what to do. The obvious example is Mike Pence, who's being urged to reject the results of the election. And he can't fathom how in the world he has the ability or power or moral authority to do that. Likewise, in the Congress of the United States, there are a lot of Republicans who are wondering why in the world their people have turned into the same kind of riotous mobs that we've seen from the left for a long time. And the answer is because they have been insulated from the level of anger and frustration that's been growing forever. People want to dismiss all of this as kooks, but if you dismiss all of it as kooks, you're saying 40 to 45% of the country are kooks. They're tired of being dismissed as kooks. And they also realize that playing by all the rules has gotten them nowhere. as the side that breaks the rules all the time keeps winning. So now suddenly some rules are being broken by these people, figuring, hey, following the rules hasn't gotten us anywhere. I could deal with all of this stuff one by one, or I could try to tie it all together. And I don't even know what the best way of doing it is, because I've got a lot of important stories to cover that I don't want to lose, including the fact that we've got our own crisis here in the state of Wisconsin, where the people keep electing in overwhelming numbers Republicans to the state legislature, and what they get for this is Republicans who refuse to fight for them. There is a reason that half of America loathes Donald Trump, and 5 to 10% of Republicans loathe Donald Trump. And it's the same reason that about 45 to 47% of America loves Donald Trump, and 95% of Republicans love Donald Trump. It's because Trump fought. It is unusual to find Republicans who fight. Here's what the norm in this country is. And as I say, I want to tie together a number of different things. The norm in this country is what happened after the 2016 election, in which we had riots all over the country for a week after Trump won. Trump beats Hillary Clinton, and there's riots all over America. That's the norm. It is not the norm for the Democrats to win the election and any Republican anywhere to do anything about it. It's the norm for the Democrats to abuse and manipulate the system to get their way, such as how we changed all sorts of election laws in the state of Wisconsin in 2020 without anybody in the legislature ever voting to change those laws. The Democrats tried to do something, and they got away with it because nobody stopped them. It is not the norm for Republicans to try to do things that way. So when they do, when you see somebody who has an unorthodox approach or creates and invents his own rules as he goes along, like Trump, he provokes a reaction that other Republicans don't provoke, because it's just gotten to be a given that Democrats get to break the rules, but Republicans don't. One of the advantages that Democrats have is that they've been breaking the rules for so long, they know how to break the rules and get their own way. My side doesn't know how to break the rules and make it work. We don't have any experience in this. I don't know any Republicans that have ever gone to riot class, because our side doesn't riot. The lefties, they're well-versed in rioting. They're well-versed in protesting. They're well-versed in raising a sting. I mean, they're taking a knee for something or another 3 days a week. They're also used to having whatever they do be ratified. So when a bunch of basketball players from Marquette take a knee for a guy who abuses women, they get praised for that. If a bunch of Republicans stand up and do something in support of Donald Trump, they don't get praised for it. So one of the things that happens here is anything that liberals do that's outside the normal realm gets praised, and anything that a Republican does gets criticized. And there are people that are just fed up and frustrated. They feel as though that they have been totally abandoned, and they think that the end result of this is that they are losing their nation. And they are right about that. We are becoming a socialist nation that is going to be using tyranny against its people. That's just stating a fact. Look at the two senators that have now been elected from Georgia. Georgia. Not California, not Massachusetts. Georgia. Which until a couple of years ago was a reliably Republican state. These are going to be two of probably the 10 most liberal members of the United States Senate. From Georgia. if Georgia, which seems to be a swing state, is electing in one case an out-and-out Marxist who has said aloud how much he hates police, Warnock, and another one, Warnock, and another one, Ossoff, who is at least three steps to the left of Chuck Schumer, if those are people that get elected from Georgia, and that party now controls the United States Senate, and the House, and the presidency, it means you're going to be getting socialism. And it comes after a year in which the left, virtually everywhere that it has power, has engaged in tyranny. It's happened so fast that many on the right have not known what to do about it. Furthermore, most people on the right generally don't know how to organize themselves, but when Donald Trump told everybody to come to Washington today, that became the only level of organization people saw. So, I don't even know how many people are there, but the crowds, it's just enormous. They're scattered all over the city, but when you see how many people are just near the Capitol itself, it's enormous. They came. They're mostly being peaceful, with the exception of the people who breached the Capitol and got into the building. But they showed up because that was the only level of organization they had. Trump said, hey, come here, so they came. These people feel as though they have to do something because they believe that we are losing our country. And as I said, they're right. As I said, the best way I know how to make these points is to tie things together. In the United States of America, we have a general principle that everybody has a right to legal representation. If you're a terrorist, you still get a lawyer after you've been arrested for terrorism. The communist Chinese government, they've got all sorts of American lawyers representing them in court cases. Iran has lawyers. If you rape nine women, you're still going to have lawyers who will go to court and try to get you off. Mass murderers, child abusers, con men, polluters. It's just a given. That's part of our system. Well, you still get to have a lawyer. Everybody has a right to legal representation. And I've never really heard anybody quarrel with that. And then this week, the largest law firm in the state of Wisconsin fired one of the most prominent attorneys in the state because she was representing Donald Trump. Now, you have to think about that and realize what it is I just said. Representing Donald Trump is apparently the one client that you're not allowed to represent and keep your job as a lawyer in America. If Donald Trump raped 37 people, nobody would object to his right to have a lawyer. But because he's quarreling with an election result, he can't have a lawyer. Foley and Lardner asked for and got the resignation of Cleta Mitchell. Cleta Mitchell is a local attorney who is one of the more prominent conservative attorneys in the United States. She's represented a lot of high-level conservative clients. She's also extremely well-known and extremely well-connected. She's on the board of the Bradley Foundation, a lot of other entities, and she's been a volunteer and has done legal work for Republicans for a long time. She was the lawyer that was on the phone call with President Trump when he was trying to get the Georgia Secretary of State to do something to help Trump win. They have won the election down there. And because if you do anything in support of Donald Trump, the media and the left is going to turn on you. Foley and Lardner got all sorts of grief because it was one of their lawyers that was on the call. Cleta has said that she is a volunteer for the Trump campaign, that she's exercising her right as an American citizen and as a lawyer to volunteer to help out President Trump in the same way that all sorts of other lawyers volunteer to help out Democrats. Foley and Lardner, however, was getting grief because one of their lawyers was actually helping Donald Trump. So they told her, you got to resign, and Kalita did. She resigned rather defiantly, saying she's going to go into private practice, but anybody who doesn't think that vote fraud and election fraud isn't a real thing is deluding themselves. But she no longer has her gig with a prominent law firm because Foley and Lardner will allow people to represent rapists. They'll allow people to represent polluters. They'll allow people to represent, I would say, virtually anybody in America. The one thing that Foley and Lardner will not allow is for you to represent Donald Trump if Donald Trump tries to object to what happened in the election. This is an almost unprecedented thing. I'm not sure I can think of many situations in which lawyers have been fired for representing clients. It's kind of the whole point of having lawyers, so that they can represent clients. But as I say, we are in a country in which, and I've been talking about this on the show for some time, American conservatives are becoming second-class citizens, that we are not accorded the same rights as everyone else. You have to tie all of these things together to understand that people are frustrated because they believe that they are losing their country. Now, Foley and Lardner, in its defense, says, well, we made a decision that we weren't going to represent anybody in any election cases. That is a ridiculous statement. And Foley and Lardner knows it's ridiculous. They're saying it only because Foley and Lardner didn't want to put up the crap that they were going to get from having one of their lawyers representing Donald Trump as he's contesting the results of the election. Foley and Lardner lawyers and lawyers, every other law firm in this country, are politically active people, and they volunteer their time and services to help all candidates and political campaigns. They sometimes charge, and they sometimes do it as volunteers because they're supporters. And as I say, prior to this, I've never heard of anybody getting in any trouble for it, but we've never had a politician that's produced the kind of enmity that Donald Trump produces. In the meantime, we have had a year here in the state of Wisconsin where our rights have just been under assault using COVID as the guise to violate the constitutional rights and the moral rights of all sorts of Americans. Businesses have been closed. Others have been restricted. Churches have been shut down. Schools have been shut down. People have been told that they have to wear masks. The list has gone on forever. In many cases, the orders are coming from officials that have never been elected to any public office. You have had out-and-out tyranny from public health officers across the state of Wisconsin. Tyranny. People elected to nothing, lacking any medical experience whatsoever. Best case scenario, a master's in public health, but no medical experience, no experience in epidemiology. Certainly no experience in understanding the Constitution of the United States, issuing orders restricting the activity of American citizens. You've had this come with the support of one political party, the Democrats, and a virtual total absence of objection from the other political party, the Republicans. It was almost impossible to get the state legislature to spend a day in session this past year, either so lazy or so fearful of COVID that they are. So here we are now in the very first week. And again, this is all tied together. It has to do with the frustration that people feel about how disenfranchised they are when the Democrats are taking away all of their rights and most of the Republicans are sitting back and saying, oh, well, we don't like it, but what are we supposed to do about it? So the very first week we are facing of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, they are poised to vote tomorrow on a bill that instead of barring these public health officers from shutting down businesses, actually would make legal and underlying that they have the ability to do it. The bill is proposed by Republicans. Republicans. It's a Wisconsin State Assembly bill sponsored by Speaker Voss and a bunch of other Republicans, including many from southeastern Wisconsin. If you're wondering why people are so frustrated, and don't believe that the Republican Party serves any answers. Instead of fighting Tony Evers, they want to help him out in taking away our rights. Now, I spoke this afternoon to Speaker Robin Voss about this, and he gave me the same kind of gobbledygook that I've been hearing from Republicans forever on this. He kept telling me, Mark, I agree with you. No, you don't agree with me. Their position, of course, is that under current law, these health officers have the authority to issue these orders. So you want to scale it back and give it to them for only 14 days. Figuring, well, maybe Tony Evers will sign that. That is a level of naivete that is almost breathtaking. Tony Evers is not going to sign this bill because everything else in the bill is a good thing. And I will grant you that the other components of the legislation are a good thing. But then they put in this load of crap inside of there. To whom, therefore, is a Wisconsinite who doesn't believe that a bunch of pissant public health officers should be able to close an American citizen's business just because that health officer has decided, well, somebody might get sick if we allow businesses to be open, even though these lockdowns have been proven to be ineffectual across the country. To whom are you supposed to turn? You can't turn to the Democrats. They want all these things locked down. And in Wisconsin, the Republicans believe in the lockdowns. They just think that you shouldn't be able to lock down a business for as long as the Democrats want to. So to whom are people supposed to turn? Again, tying this now to Washington. You add all of these things together, and I've only scratched the surface. Lawyers getting fired for representing the president. People seeing election laws being changed all over the place. People having a strong sense that this election was stolen. People seeing a candidate getting more votes than anybody has in American history when he couldn't draw 12 people to a rally. They think that their country and their rights are being taken from them, and they think they are being taken illegitimately. They don't believe that their rights are being taken because they're losing on the up and up. They believe that they're simply being stolen. And they don't see anyone willing to fight for them. Now, the Republican politicians, on the other hand, when they do fight, they get assaulted by the media, and most of them then panic. They seem, in many cases, to be more bothered by criticism from the New York Times and their own constituency. They want their constituents who vote for them to shut up and go away. But then they turn around and accept the attacks they get from the media. There are exceptions. Senator Johnson was quite eloquent on this. The Journal writing an editorial saying he's not fit to serve in public office because he is daring to raise questions about the disgraceful way in which we conducted the 2020 election in the state of Wisconsin. So, the president tells people to come to Washington. They show up in Washington. They see a Capitol building being ineptly guarded, and some of them decide to bust into the Capitol. This, of course, is a prescription for disaster. And it will be used by the media and the left to portray all of Trump's supporters as a bunch of yahoos because we all know what the rules of the game are. If you're a liberal and you don't like something, you're allowed to riot. If you're a conservative and you don't like something, you're supposed to shut up and take it. The very people who defended the insurrection in Madison, remember how the Madison mayor said she thought it was beautiful seeing all those defaced buildings on State Street? Will say it is horrible and terrifying what's going on in Washington. The officials in Wauwatosa who allowed month after month after month after month after month of insurrectionists to violate all sorts of laws will now pretend to be outraged and appalled that Republicans are standing around on the grass outside the Capitol building. What? Paul says I should do the word. All right. No, I'm doing my own civil disobedience. There's the word. I'll do it now. You got 25 minutes to text in the word bills, as in, you know, bills, B-I-L-L-S, 200-200. Text that in to 200-200. That's the Cold Hard Cash Contest to get a text confirming entry, plus iHeartRadio info, standard data, and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. I think most people listening to me know somebody who's in Washington, D.C. right now. That's incredible when you think about it. It's really incredible. Prior to a few weeks ago, most of us don't know anybody who ever took part in a protest for anything. But that's because the country is, you know, this Washington, D.C. has massive numbers of people who went out there for this. A nerve has been touched. Now, how far it goes and what it's going to lead to, no one really knows. Will there be follow-up over this? I suspect yes. Will there be a counterinsurgency where people on the right, now that we have no power in this country, now that the Democrats have everything, they have the Senate, the House, and the presidency? Yes, they'll object. They won't be able to stop much of anything from happening, but they will object and start to raise hell. All year, I commented that I thought it was rather remarkable how little objection there has been as our rights have been taken away from us one by one by one by one by one. And the explanation, of course, is that my side doesn't really know how to object, and they don't know how to stop things like this, and they weren't used to how it happens. So what happened is they kind of slowly let it happen, got hacked off, hacked off, hacked off, hacked off, hacked off, hacked off, and then realized that after all of this was done, the other side won and they were going to do it even more. Well, now you get this. Especially when you get the rare case of a Republican who, rather than say, okay, I lost, see you later, they screwed me, they stole it, which is what Trump is saying. As I've acknowledged, Trump doesn't have any proof that this election's been stolen from him. He doesn't. That doesn't mean it wasn't stolen. There's a lot of things that some of us think have happened that we can't yet prove. What people like me have been suggesting is that the many irregularities that have occurred in this election should be investigated. And something ought to be done about the number of violations of election laws that occurred across the United States, including in states like Wisconsin. And we ought to do as much as we can to find out if these election results were legitimate. That's a reasonable request. But what people on the left and people in the media have done is they've lumped it all in together. They've said that anybody who questions anything is in the same category as somebody who says the election was stolen. The role of the media to serve as the watchdog and the questioner and the skeptic has instead become the mouthpiece for one side, the side that many people believe succeeded in stealing the election. Now again, tying it all together, why would somebody bust into the Capitol? First of all, hardly anybody in Washington busted into the Capitol today. I don't know how many people are there, but it's in the tens of thousands. That's a low number. It's higher than that, but that, I'll give you a conservative number. And out of that, how many people busted into the Capitol? 250? I don't know. So most didn't, but some did. Which, of course, is terrifying people because the security at the Capitol is usually such that this never happens. Worst case scenario, one guy gets in, they have a goofed up pass or something or another, or somebody lets them in that they're not supposed to, or they steal a pass, and they get to the security guard, and everybody goes crazy and they get him. We're not used to seeing dozens, hundreds of people roaming around the building, breaking into lawmakers' offices, sitting down in their offices, writing notes on their desks, walking around in the building, smoking cigar. We had a gunshot that went off. I mean, we're not used to that. But it's not like everybody who went to Washington did that either. Now, the people who say, well, look, most of us were peaceful, they sound, of course, as ridiculous as the demonstrators around the United States after George Floyd who were acting peacefully saying, well, most of us are peaceful. In the meantime, you got buildings burning down. But I will point out there's nothing that's burned down in Washington today. Some people busted into the Capitol. Other people are hanging around the railings. By the way, they've cleared a lot of them out by now. But those people do this because they don't know what else to do. Statement from Trump now. I know how you feel. Go home in peace. So the president's trying to get them, get the folks that are there to go home and leave because I don't think he wants to see a riot. I don't think he wants to see Capitol Police come in and start shooting and tear gassing his supporters. Yeah. I love these stories. It says the FBI and the Secret Service and the National Guard are being deployed to the Capitol. Doesn't that beg the question of why they weren't there before the day started? Doesn't that seem like a good question? Paul says he doesn't get that. I don't really, if you want me to explain anything, I have not really been able to explain anything for about a year in the United States of America. So I don't know why that I would have thought that that type of security was there just every day in general. I would have thought that that type of security, that the Capitol would have proper security, you know, in the middle of June in any year or something or another, particularly on a day in which you're expecting Antifa to show up on the one hand and zillions of Trump supporters on the other, I would just think that you would have those people out, but who knows? Paul says, yes, a bunch of deer hunters in Wisconsin can make it into the Capitol. Well, there you see some of them leaving right now. They're carrying the Trumps. And by the way, I'll note that as they leave, they're peacefully leaving, marching single file, one by one, out of the building. This is much more and people will say that this is chaos at the Capitol. I don't recall when the state Capitol was breached in Madison that the protesters left one by one peacefully waving hands and saying goodbye as they walked out of the building. No, of course none of the statues are toppled. I mean, as I say, the thing that is different and unique about this is who it is that is doing it, and that is going to certainly be true of the way that people react to it. The people who have defended every type of violent protest, insurrection, disobedience, riot, firebombing forever are, of course, now absolutely horrified at what's happened here. Well, count me as unhorrified. Are you horrified? No. What? Well, I get all of that. And, you know, I understand that it's certainly scary. And what happens later tonight when, and after dark, that's when Antifa and those mobs come out and they're going to start looking for Trump supporters and do this. And who knows what's going to happen? I get all of that. It is going to be dark soon. Remember, they're an hour ahead of us. The point that I keep tying this back to and citing the Cleta Mitchell story, citing the awful COVID bill that Republicans in the state assembly intend to vote on. By the way, I've linked up on belling.com that legislation. And again, the tragedy, of course, and this is a tragedy of just being represented by Republicans in Wisconsin. 95% of the bill is really good, including they've got immunity in there for business owners. That's a good thing. So the business owners who reopened during COVID don't get sued for reopening during COVID. They've got in there that to make it much easier for kids that are in a school district where they close the schools to be able to transfer right away to an adjacent school district that's open. That's a good thing. It will put pressure on these school districts to open. Kids on high school sports teams, if their school is shut down and the team isn't playing, would be able to transfer immediately. You know, as I say, Evers is going to veto the bill anyway. Most of what's in this bill is very, very good, but then they throw in this absolutely horrible anti-American, anti-freedom provision to give unelected bureaucrats the right to shut down American businesses. I mean, that's tyranny. There's no other word for it. It's tyranny. So as I say, when you're dealing with that is your level of Republican representation, when you can only find a handful of members of either the Congress or your state legislatures to object to what happened during the election, tell me, other than go to Washington and barge into the Capitol, what people are supposed to do. And that's the answer. They have been they've resorted to this because there's been nothing else to do. In the meantime, they see liberals who engage in this kind of behavior get rewarded all the time. Well, of course they're not doing it effectively. My side doesn't know how to do these things effectively. We're no good at it. I mean, imagine if you were told, well, I can't imagine you know how to do this. Your wife told you to make a souffle. You'd have no clue. Your souffle would crash. The tricky thing is to have the thing not go crashing down. On the other hand, somebody who makes 30 souffles a day knows how to do it. My side's not any good at this rioting thing. We don't know how to riot. We don't know how to protest. We don't know how to bust in. But also, to use a football analogy, team plays a team that's throwing the ball all the time. So we say, well, we got to stop running the ball. We're going to throw the ball. And they get a penalty flag. Oh, you can't throw the ball. One side's allowed to do things and the other side isn't. There's nothing approaching a level playing field. And now you are seeing tyranny and disfranchisement of people's rights. Instead of Foley and Lardner proudly defending its lawyer for going to bat on behalf of, think about this, they're appalled that their lawyer represented the President of the United States. This is how deep this now is and how great the threat is to us. And clearly, it's going to get worse. If they've been able to take away as many rights as they've been able to when Trump was the president, when Republicans held the Senate, imagine what they're going to do when they have total control of the government. It's all going to continue to get worse, and there has to continue to be resistance to it, and I'm guessing my side will come up with more effective ways to resist than you saw today. But the optics are always going to be bad because the reality is people are bothered when conservatives protest and riot, but they're not bothered when liberals protest and riot because we're so used to it. It's just true. The one thing that I believe most of us, not the Charlie Sykes crowd, not the Lincoln Project crowd, but most of us want from Republicans is to fight for us. Particularly given the fact that most conservatives are not comfortable fighting on their own and don't have a lot of experience with it. They want them to fight for us. And they see an unwillingness on the part of most of their leadership to fight. Now, I've been expressing this frustration for some time, as you know. I'm much closer to the frustrated conservatives that are fed up with the whole thing than I am with the hand-wringers in government who are saying, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. You also have, and I think that this is an important point. I mentioned a few moments ago that I bet most people listening to me know somebody who's in Washington today for these protests. Do you know somebody that's in Washington today for these protests? Yeah, Paul said yes. But I also believe that most people in the media do not know anybody in Washington for these protests, and most elected Republican officials don't know anybody in Washington today for these protests. In other words, there's a disconnect between the people who are there and the people who are in power with the people who feel so angry and frustrated. In speaking to Speaker Voss this afternoon, I brought up, not to his face because we were over the phone, my frustration over that stupid commercial he ran in which he's telling people to stay home if they can. The commercial that he runs on TV and that at the same time he went to Washington, D.C. to go to the White House Christmas party. I just don't think he understands how fed up people are with that. We don't want Republicans to tell us to stay home. We want them to shut their big mouths up. Most conservatives don't believe it's the job of Republicans to tell people what to do. They expect that from liberals. So if liberals say you have to stay home and they lock things up and Republicans become a lighter version, well, it's a good idea to stay home. Again, who do people feel is representing them? They feel as though they've been disenfranchised as values that were a given. Government officials aren't supposed to shut down businesses or tell you what to do. It's just a given. Do what you want. It's up to you. Stay home if you feel safe. If you feel safer, go out if you feel safe. So all that's rejected. Now you can riot. Now you can do whatever you want. All the rules are changed all in 1 year. China invents a virus, comes to the United States, and it's used as a cover to throw out a president in the United States, take away our rights, close our schools, screw everything up. And no one is defending the people who disagree with this, even as their rights have been violated. Now, I know how this is going to play out. Not the specifics, but the big picture. This is going to play out in Wisconsin next year and across the country with a number of Republicans facing challenges in primaries. Trump is going to bust up the Republican Party. He's not going away quietly, clearly. And many of his supporters want the Republican Party busted up. There are other Republicans who are going to say that Trump was a demagogue, that if Trump hadn't made one stupid decision after another, he would have been reelected, that the United States Senate was lost because Trump shot off his big mouth and made stupid comments about finding votes. And there are other people who are saying that those people are trying to blame their own failures on Trump and they want the whole thing broken up. And whether you want it or not, that's going to happen. There are going to be Republicans in Wisconsin and elsewhere that face primary challenges. There will not be a cakewalk for Becky Clayfish to automatically become the governor of the state, especially if she decides that she's going to be the candidate of an establishment that many of us feel as though has abandoned us and our rights and our principles. That's the big picture of what's going to come. The specifics, I don't know. But I know that none of this right now is sitting well with a lot of people. Eric Trump last night on Fox said people are pissed off that it doesn't feel right, that they just don't believe that Biden won. They saw Biden and nobody at a rally. Donald Trump's got a zillion people at a rally. They're wondering how in the world these results come out as they do and so on. Now, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, but his conclusion that people are hacked off and that they don't believe it is correct. They don't believe it. They think that a theft has occurred. They don't think that this is legitimate. And the reason that they don't is that they have been told to shut up and every concern that they have had from the beginning has been dismissed. If these things were investigated, if there was an aggressive attempt to look into all of the irregularities, people wouldn't have these suspicions. They do because their suspicions, their objections have been dismissed as all of these irregularities have occurred. Why would you trust authorities that allow riots to go on in your cities? You wouldn't. So if you tie all of this together, there is a complete lack of trust, loss of trust is the better word, in the authorities that run our communities and our country from most people on the right based on what's happened here. And it's coming to a head, as I said today. And it's going to continue to get worse as lawyers now get fired from silk stocking law firms. Because they dare to represent the president of the United States, because a bunch of people who sit around in the high offices in the tower down there do not want to get phone calls from liberals saying, I can't believe your firm would have a lawyer representing Donald Trump. And instead of having any backbone, the conservative lawyer is told, hey, well, we can't have you here. You can't be doing this. We're very troubled by this. Can anyone imagine that if Biden lost, that he was contesting the election, and a lawyer for Foley was advising Biden that they would have fired him? It's not even imaginable. I bring it up only here to illustrate my point. Now, people aren't stupid. They're seeing and observing all of these things. I want to expand my discussion to include the schools, because I think it's, again, another illustrator of conservatives not knowing how to object and how to fight, and when they try to up the ante, how they're accused of going too far and so on. As I say, all these things I just think are tied together, that people feel as though their position, their rights, their will, and often the will of the majority is simply being thwarted, and that they're not even allowed anymore to express their opinion. And the reason they feel that way is because that is, in fact, what is occurring. The D.C. police, by the way, are now confirming what I mentioned a little bit earlier, that gunshot at the Capitol. One person was wounded during this whole situation. We don't have a lot of details on it, but in fact, let's cut over to Fox right now. You have a briefing from the D.C. police chief.
Set in place, or people will be subject to arrest. Lastly, I know that many of you are familiar with the Metropolitan Police Department. Understand that there is no better agency in the country to handle First Amendment events. They happen on a regular basis here in our city. However, Today's events were not representation of peaceful protests. Today, what we witnessed was unlawful, riotous behavior. And people that come to our city engaged in unlawful behavior will be held accountable. We can take any questions after you may
have. That's the BC police chief. This is unlawful, riotous behavior. Do you recall that kind of tough talk when Antifa was tearing up the city earlier this year? No. They only got bothered when Trump went to a church and lit a candle, you know. Like I said, this is, yeah, Paul says unbelievable, except it's just on and 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 on. It's the same thing that I've said forever about vote fraud. You want to get liberals to be bothered by vote fraud, Republicans have to engage in it. You want to get liberals to be bothered by insurrection and demonstrations, conservatives have to do it. Then they'll be horrified and mortified. The people who will be perfectly content if somebody firebombs a few buildings in Kenosha tonight are horrified that a bunch of people got riled up and hacked off at the Capitol. And again, I'm not defending anything that went on at the Capitol. Breaching security, I don't believe you should do that. I don't believe if there's a security line that you should just barge through it. I'm just explaining why it went on, and I'm explaining the double standard that occurs in terms of the way people react to it and how it just fuels people's anger even more. They wonder why their side can't protest at all when the other side can burn down a city's police department. Well, we understand why you're frustrated. You know how many times people have said after this whole year with regard to BLM, we understand why people are frustrated. We understand why people are frustrated. We understand why people are frustrated. Has anybody ever said to a right-winger, I understand why you're frustrated? I just say it because I do understand why you're frustrated, because I'm kind of frustrated here myself. The best thing we have going here in Wisconsin is we have overwhelming control of our state legislature. Unlike in Washington, where the Congress now is going to be totally controlled by the Democrats. We have overwhelming control of our state legislature, and our legislature has used that authority to essentially do nothing, to do no fighting, to do nothing but acquiesce or simply stay home. And, well, we're trying to be reasonable. We want to pass a bill that they can say, reasonable has really worked. And I know what the retort is going to be. Well, being unreasonable doesn't work either. What does work? Thus, the dilemma that we are in. The left has radicalized itself, and it has worked. The people who thought that going all AOC would be a disaster for the Democratic Party have been wrong. They ran a couple of AOC types in Georgia and won with both of them. Georgia. So expect that that's what the Democrats are going to do everywhere. Moderates within that party have no chance anymore. They're going to run radicals everywhere, figuring that's who's going to win for us. Our radicals will fight even dirtier, and our side is allowed to fight dirty. News Talk 1130 WISN, Mark Belling, late afternoon show. It looks like they pretty much restored some sense of order at the Capitol, and most of the protesters are leaving. As I say, they're all still in town, though, and I worry about what's going to happen tonight, which is when the other side turns on them. Now, obviously, this is not going to play out to the advantage of the people who went to Washington. The unfair thing, of course, is that if there are 150,000 people there, what, maybe 1,500 got into the Capitol, they're all going to be lumped in and categorized with people who went and did things that they weren't supposed to do. What? It'll be Trump. Well, yeah. Well, everything is Trump's fault. Yes, it'll be Trump's fault. You know, and to some extent, some things are Trump's fault, and to some extent, Trump is responsible for what happened in Georgia. I don't think it's the majority extent, but to some extent, and clearly, Trump raised expectations for people who went to Washington. But Trump never said barge in and take over the Capitol. He never said breach security lines. He never said any of those things. The difference here is, as I said, you have people that are very frustrated and some got more aggressive than others did. The way that this will play out will be different from liberal protests because most American conservatives do not support violating the law to express your point of view. Liberals are simply situational. They support it if it's their side doing it, and they're appalled if my side does it. But most conservatives believe that you should respect the law. They don't want to see our Capitol attacked, and so on. The thing that, as I say, that is unfortunate is that the people who had nothing to do with doing anything wrong, like breaching the Capitol security line and so on, they're all going to be lumped in as having been part of this. And as I've been watching this all afternoon, most of the people that are standing outside were doing nothing other than waving their flags and this, that, and the other thing. But some people did barge into the building, and that's wrong. The point that I want to keep stressing is it's not new. The Wisconsin Capitol's been barged into forever. Remember Act 10, for heaven's sakes? And remember the lack of criticism that those people got again and again and again and again and again? Now, I criticize them, so I'm not going to say my side should be allowed to do it. I'm merely observing the double standard of lack of being appalled when lefties do these kinds of things all the time. That's the... What? Yes, they took over the rotunda in Madison for days. My side was in there for 2.5 hours, and it's like the world is coming to an end. But again, that is not a defense of the people who broke what the rules are. I'm just saying I understand why people who broke the rules did so. They're frustrated, and they feel as though they have to do something, and they wonder what in the world they're supposed to do to bring their country back when Foley and Lardner won't even let a lawyer represent Donald Trump. When anybody who objects to the fact that we changed all of our election rules in Wisconsin doesn't have a political party to turn to. Now, I want to, before I go to the break and before I give you the word, 4 o'clock hour word, cold hard cash contest, I want to comment briefly on the way the election results in North Carolina, or rather, Georgia, played out last night. And lefties don't get this, but they try to lump all conservatives in together, and there's conservatives are the same as everything else. Some people think one way, some people think another way, and so on. Some are optimists, some are cynical, etc. I know people in both categories. I know some people that are just optimistic by nature and other people who think that their side's going to lose all the time. I try to be realistic and accurate. Without naming the guy, I know a guy who, well, he texted me when 90% of the vote was in last night, and he said, the Democrats can't steal this, right? And this is when Loeffler was up by 2 points and Perdue was up by 2.5. Well, and I had to, and anybody who was following the results was aware that there was at no point that it looked like the Republicans were going to win. And unfortunately, some people watch these shows on Fox where, let's face it, some of the hosts are the bluebirds of happiness. And oh, it's a good sign, it's a good sign, it's a good sign, it's a good sign, it's a good sign. Here's what the Democrats do in every state that has a close election. Every state, and it's done all the time, and it happens all the time in Wisconsin. When 90% of the vote is in, that remaining 10% that is outstanding is almost always some liberal areas. It's just what they do. And they're very good at it. If Republicans tried to do it, they'd have the whistle blown on them, and they wouldn't be able to get away with it, but nobody blows the whistle on it. For those of you who follow politics well, you're aware that there are a number of websites that break down voting by county. In other words, you take a little map and you scroll with your mouse or your cursor over a county, and it shows what the results are in each county. And last night, when everywhere in Georgia, the votes were in at 85, 90, 92, 94%, there's this county. It's pronounced, it's written with an L, but they've all pronounced it DeKalb. It's like the city in Illinois, DeKalb, only they call this one DeKalb. D-E capital K-A-L-B. It's one of the most Democratic counties in the United States, and it is a very large county. It is overwhelmingly African American. It's just outside of the Atlanta area. 36% of the vote was in from DeKalb County. In other words, there were about 200,000 uncounted votes from that county at a time that the Republican was winning in run race by about 120,000 votes and in the other race by about 80,000 votes. Well, if you knew that they were holding back the results from DeKalb County, you knew that there were certainly nowhere near enough votes for the Republicans to win. The more important question is, why is one county in each of these states always allowed to simply wait until the last minute to turn in the results? And you know why they do it. They do it because they wait to see how many votes they need. Does that mean that they cheated in that county? No. Does that mean that they might have cheated in that county? Yes. Do I think they cheated in that county? I don't know. I wasn't in there to see what they were doing, but there is a reason why you always wait. I've told the story, and I'm going to tell it again, even though the clock is not giving me time to do so. I'm going to tell this story again, and Cleta Mitchell made this point. Anybody who doesn't think that there's vote fraud and corruption in elections in America is kidding themselves. Remember, I worked in Illinois for 5 years. Covered politics, and that is Illinois and Louisiana, the two most elbow-in-your-face political states, I think, that we have in our country. Not as much anymore in Illinois because it's become a one-party state. But, you know, this was the Chicago Democratic machine, or just everything it was. I told the story a few weeks ago. I'm going to tell it again. And I know the story to be true because I was involved in it. In the race for governor in 1982, in Illinois, there was a virtual dead heat between the incumbent Republican Jim Thompson and the Democratic challenger Adlai Stevenson. He was a United States senator who was running for governor. Two political powerhouses in that state. And there were a handful of precincts still outstanding. In fact, the election wasn't resolved for 48 hours. And some of the Democrats in Chicago approached Adlai Stevenson and said, "Do you want to be the governor or not?" And the implication was clear. "We'll find you enough votes to steal the election, but you're going to be playing ball with us, Adlai." And Adlai Stevenson refused to do it. The story is known by a lot of people in Illinois politics, and by the standards of Illinois, it's nothing. That kind of thing in that state happens all the time. The point is that people find votes in the last minute in the elections, and they've been doing so in the United States forever. In fact, even if the 2020 election was stolen, it's not the first time it happened. People keep talking about 1876. The election in the United States was stolen in 1876. Samuel Tilden beat Rutherford B. Hayes, and they stole it from him. They simply rejected the vote count, and they used the Electoral College to put in Hayes. So to act as though that somebody who brings up the notion that there was fraud is just saying, acting like something has never happened before in our history, ridiculous. It's like saying people don't sell drugs illegally. But there are some people who automatically, every time they lose, say, well, it's because of fraud. You still have to be able to prove it. The unfortunate thing is when Democrats do it, nobody tries to prove it. So it happens in Wisconsin. It happens in so many of these other states. You saw it happen in Pennsylvania. It happened in Michigan in the presidential election. The last areas to come in with their numbers are always Democratic areas. Now, you ask yourself the following question. If every other county in Georgia was over 90%, why was DeKalb at 36? They were obviously slowing it down to wait. What other reason would there be? Why is Milwaukee County always the last one to come in Wisconsin? Always. As they sit there at Central Count. You'll recall in the presidential election in Atlanta, they claimed that the water pipe broke and they had to wait a few hours. Well, this year, again, I keep telling people the Democrats are really good at this. Atlanta, which is Fulton County, they got in early. They were in on time this time. So the one next door, DeKalb, that's the one that's slow walking their way through. So everybody's, and you heard Sean had it, and I love Sean saying, well, this looks pretty good. Fulton County's almost all the way in. Sean, DeKalb's not in at all. They kind of switched it up on you over here. The one that's holding it back is the one right next door over there. And then magically DeKalb comes in, and the vote dump occurs, and you got about a 1.5-point victory in the one race and a 1-point victory in the other race. So again, you have in Georgia virtual dead heat elections that the Democrats in both cases won by a very narrow margin. And again, whether or not there is fraud or whether or not this is just another case of the Democrats outworking Republicans. And clearly that happened. And I'll throw this in before I give you the word. The Democrats, when it comes to this sort of thing, are smarter and better than Republicans. They just are. They are. My side's out there marching on Washington when control of the government was being decided the day before in Georgia. The Democrats, they didn't have people marching on Washington. They had them all moving into Georgia and doing the get out the vote operation. I mean, the Stacey Abrams operation down there in Georgia was quite the thing. They had thousands of paid employees from around the country going to people's doors with ballots. The Democratic voter turnout operation is incredible. Republicans don't do that. They run ads. Or they have people sitting home hacked off because they think that Trump had the election stolen. Or they're hacked off because Georgia Republicans don't fight for him. Or they have these few agendas that bleed off that 1 or 2% from the Republican vote. Whereas the Democrats, they found every last person they could find. And now that all you have to do is mail the ballot. And, hey, Charlie.
What?
Vote.
No.
I got the ballot right here. Sign your name. Oh, you already marked it for me. That's right. Put it in the mail. Here's the stamp. Person puts the stamp in mail. Is it any surprise that suddenly their voter turnout is off the charts in areas where it used to be terrible? Do you know how long it's going to take for the Republicans to figure out how to do ballot harvesting like that? And as I say, you have Republicans that can come up with every excuse in the world for not voting. Just a few of them, and a few of them decide these elections, whereas the Democrats, they're not going to tolerate that from their people. What do you mean you're not going to vote, Charlie? I just voted your name. All right, okay, fine. That's how they play. You know how my side plays. My side, well, I just don't want to vote. I'm mad. Okay, that's unfortunate. You think somebody's going to fill it out for them and send it in anyway? No. Am I saying that they should? No, I'm not. I'm just saying. Close elections like this, the Democrats are just way better at it. And the whole thing about always, can you imagine if, like in Wisconsin, we get to 97% of the vote and some Republican stronghold was sitting there at 2% and then magically came up with just enough to keep winning these elections, and it was always the same place that it happened again and again and again. You say, well, why don't the Republicans hold back these results sometimes, and why don't they do some of this? Do you know why that is? The answer is? Because Republicans don't want to cheat. They just can't do it. They can't bring themselves to do it. Shouldn't that be a good thing? Well, whether it's a good thing or not, it does result in the other side winning these elections using the same tactic again and again and again and again and again. So when you watch election results and you're at 94% of the vote and one side is up by 1.5% or 2%, do understand that you better know where the remaining 6% is before you suddenly start declaring victory. In Milwaukee, as I've been pointing this out forever, nobody pays any attention to me until they all bring it up after the election. Why do you think Milwaukee counts all the absentee ballots at Central Count rather than at the individual precinct at the time that they're counting all the other ballots? I brought this up 9,000 times. I'll make it 9,001. They do it all at Central Count so that they can take forever to do it. And one of the results of this is they know exactly how many they need. Does that mean they put in a bunch of phony ballots? I don't know. I don't know if they didn't. I don't know if they didn't. I know that anybody who says that we ought to look into it is accused of being a conspiratorial wacko. But I can tell you that this kind of election fraud has been going on in America as long as there's been in America. What you have now is a lack of desire to investigate it because only one side commits it. I'll give you the 4 o'clock hour word. You're not going to claim you were right in your prediction. You said a landslide, didn't you? You said there'd be a landslide. You said that they'd be killed. You said a slaughter. The reason I didn't want to make a prediction is I knew it was going to be close. And it just there are certain states in which everything is going to be close. Do you believe that the Republicans would have won if Trump had not made that phone call to the Secretary of State in Georgia? Paul said no. I think yes, but the problem with saying that that's the reason they lost is I also think that the Republicans would have won if Mitch McConnell had not backed off the $2,000 on the stimulus thing. That you have some middle-class Georgians who were hacked off that, you know, the Republicans were stopping them from getting the bigger check and they either didn't vote or they voted on the Democratic side. In other words, there's always a lot of blame to go around on both sides. The problem for the Republicans is they never have everybody on the same page. The Democrats are always on the same page. Name one thing the Democrats have been arguing with one another over the last 2 months. Nothing. They stay on the same page. They settle everything when it comes to the... They didn't have AOC popping up. Nothing. They didn't ever anybody saying, well, you know, this Warnock appears to be an anti-cop bigot, even though clearly some Democrats think that. They stay on the same page. My side's incapable of staying on the same page, and in part because we're hacked off that some people are on the wrong page. Standing up for Milwaukee, this is the Mark Belling Late Afternoon Show on News Talk 1130 WISN. Now, I've tried to weave a number of things into today's program because there's a lot of important things that are happening under this backdrop of the situation that occurred at the state capitol earlier this afternoon, the United States Capitol, Washington, earlier this afternoon, and really is still continuing, in which the Capitol security was breached and protesters got inside the building. There was a gunshot fired, and there are general condemnations coming around all over the place over what has happened. Let's bring you up to speed on what the situation is right now and what we know. There are massive crowds of pro-Trump supporters in Washington today, because today was to be the day that the House of Representatives certified the vote of the Electoral College, choosing Joe Biden as President of the United States. As people marched toward the Capitol, they walked right up to the steps of the Capitol, got past the security lines, and somehow, and it's still not clear to me how this happened, many of them got into the building itself. They didn't have to go through metal detectors, they didn't have to go through anything, and they passed through where they were supposed to be able to be, and they were inside that statue, what do they call it, Statuary Hall or wherever, which is right outside the House chamber of the, you know, the House of Representatives. There was apparently a fair amount of violence that occurred, and there are various videos of what happened when people were inside. One of the things that has resulted from this is a word has reappeared in the media dictionary that has been gone for 3 years. Do you know what that word is? Paul said no. The word riot has suddenly showed up in the media dictionary again. You will hear the word riot nonstop over the next 24 hours to describe what happened in Washington, D.C. The word that has not been applied to anything in Kenosha, Madison, Minneapolis, or anywhere else will be used here. Now, I hope some of the people who got inside the building were arrested. I hope they were able to make a fair number of arrests. Why? I'd like to see who these people really are. Can we rule out that some of these are not Trump supporters, but they simply portrayed themselves as Trump supporters to try to get in and cause trouble? I'm not saying I know that's what happened. I don't know that that's what happened. But Antifa's pretty clever, and they disguise themselves all the time. It's not generally the nature of conservatives or Trump supporters to not follow the rules. Yet clearly some rules weren't followed here. You also had, in these tremendous hordes of people, only a handful of people who actually tried to get into the Capitol. Everybody else is pretty much following the rules. Is it possible that some of the people involved are not actually Trump supporters, but just put on some Trump clothes and all that stuff to make the Trump supporters look bad? That is possible. It's also possible that this is simply a bunch of hotheads in a large group that pushed the envelope. Who knows? If people were arrested, you'd be able to check their background and perhaps would be able to prove some of this. Now, among the questions that people are raising is how this was allowed to happen in the first place. The Capitol is one of the most secured buildings in the world. And there's protests there all the time, and nobody ever gets into the building. It's rather hard for me to believe that people on my side are better at this than all the lefties that have been outside the Capitol forever and ever and ever. How come they've never been able to get in? I mean, you're talking about Vietnam War, it's an odd thing. And, you know, the National Guard's been called to the Capitol. The D.C. police has asked for backup from Maryland and all of this stuff. Well, you wonder why more of those people weren't there in the first place. And you sort of had the impression that they have, you know, that it's an armed fortress every day of the year anyway. My concern is, as nightfall now comes in Washington, and there's still huge numbers of people near the Capitol. You have people, some of them drove out there, some are staying in hotels, others are staying who knows where, but they're all just kind of around, and now it's after dark. A pessimist is going to think that there's going to be a lot of trouble tonight, including with outsiders now coming in and figuring, hey, we've got a bunch of Trump supporters in town, let's go get them. Who knows? But it's where we are in the United States of America right now, and it occurred because you had the rare circumstance of a massive number of conservatives coming out and choosing to demonstrate on something. This almost never occurs. We've had riots over everything under the sun in this country this year, and almost all of them have come from the left. People, as I mentioned earlier on the program, on the conservative side of things, are deeply frustrated, and they're correctly frustrated. Now, let me talk for a moment about the Senate election from Georgia. if you understand anything about the way democracy works, the only time one side is able to make overwhelmingly transformative change is when they control everything. The most powerful 2 years of Obama's presidency were his first 2 years when he had the House and the Senate. That's when he passed Obamacare. Likewise, in Wisconsin, the Republicans were able to transform our state, pass Act 10, pass concealed carry, pass right to work, lower taxes, when they controlled the governorship, the assembly, and the Senate. So long as another party controls one of the two chambers, they can limit the amount of damage that an executive can do. Wisconsin right now is a perfect situation. Tony Evers has issued a bunch of terrible executive orders, but he's not figured out how to raise taxes. And he's not figured out how to roll back any of the laws that were passed in Wisconsin during the Walker era. We still have concealed carry. We still have this, that, or the other thing. He certainly has power through controlling the administration. But he can't pass any law that Republicans don't like because they still control the legislature. Some of us, including me, will question how hard the Republicans are fighting, but there is a limit as to how much damage the Evers can do when you have Republican control of the legislature. There is now no limit on the damage that the Democrats are able to do because they control everything. The only limit is they have to hold the entire party together. They have a narrow margin in the House and the narrowest margin of all, no votes at all to spare, in the Senate. All you have to do is peel off a few of them in the House and one of them in the Senate. The Democrats, though, have proven over the years to be extremely good at keeping all of their people together. So the move toward radicalism is going to be accelerated in our country. I think you're going to see a giant tax increase. The one I think people have to be most fearful of is what they're going to do with capital gains. If they transfer capital gains to regular income, you know, the highest levels, that's 37%. That is taking a fortune out of this country, and it destroys the climate for business and investment in the United States and could crash the stock market. It could do all sorts of things. Every time we lower the capital gains tax, we create a boom in this country, and every time we raise it, we create a depression. Other regulations that could be passed, and who knows what they're going to do with regard to voting laws. It's a windfall for China. Border protections are likely to be non-existent. Essentially, anything that the AOC wing of the Democratic Party wants to do, they're going to have a very good chance at doing because there is no line of resistance. After the November election, it appeared as though the Democrats failed in their effort to win everything because there was a presumption that the Republicans, having run ahead in the two races in Georgia, would hold at least one of those seats in the runoff elections. Well, we see what's happened since. The Democrats got their act together over the next 2 months. They put out a massive effort. They spent a fortune in that state. That whole Stacey Abrams get out the vote operation, which they're going to write books on. They turned out all of their people in incredible numbers. Did they cheat? I don't know. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But they produced a Democratic vote that is staggering. The Republican vote toll was extremely high too, but down a little bit from November. Well, down a little bit was enough to lose. If Georgia didn't have that stupid law requiring a runoff, the Republicans would have won both seats. Virtually no states have a runoff law. Wisconsin doesn't have a runoff law. In Wisconsin, if the Republican gets 49, the Democrat gets 48, and the third parties get the remaining 3%, the Republican gets elected to the Senate. Georgia's got a different law. Because they have that law and because the Democrats were aggressive enough to take advantage of it, they got to the runoff and they were able to turn it around, and now they control the Senate. A real quick point, it's a political point, but one that I think is instructive. I have been on this, I wish I'd like to say it's a dead horse, but it's not. It's a horse that's not being allowed to live. With regard to Republicans, that politics in this country has changed, that everything anymore is on turning out your vote. persuading people to your point of view is important, but it's not the most important thing. Getting your people out to vote is more important. The Democrats have learned this. The Republicans still spent, you know, put all these ads on TV and send out these postcards. The Democrats, once they realize we've got to change the voting laws, so all you have to do is mail in the ballot and we can do ballot harvesting and go into the apartment buildings and the housing projects and turn in 15,000 ballots at once. That's turned things around in this country for them, and until the Republicans learn how to counter it, they're going to keep losing. There's a story that's going around. A couple of the hosts on Fox talked about it, but it's an indication of how good the Democrats have gotten at getting out their vote. Stacey Abrams, who was the Democratic candidate for Georgia a couple of years ago and is essentially the leader of the Democratic Party down in that state, she ran the Get Out the Vote operation here. They got registered people who turned 18 after the November election. Now, that's pretty aggressive. There aren't many of those people. Do you know how many people turned 18 between November and January? Very small number. But they had a database of all of them. Knowing that most young people are likely to vote Democratic, they got them registered, they got ballots to them, and they got them mailed in. The Republicans didn't have anything like that going on. Can you imagine in Wisconsin? That kind of targeting of finding people who just turned 18 at between one election and another and getting them all registered and getting to them and, you know, helping them fill out the ballot and the whole thing. This is how you win and how you lose elections. The thing that's really stunning about this is, to me, the Democrats aren't good at anything else. This is the only thing they're good at. Can you imagine if they were as good at vaccinating people as they are at this? I mean, you watch in Wisconsin. We get to June. You're still going to have people griping that they can't get vaccines. It's going to be the same thing that happened in this state with the testing. You know how long it took to get the testing up and running here? It's the same thing with the unemployment checks that have been backed up forever and ever and ever and ever. They can't keep schools open. They can't do anything. The one thing they can do is get out the vote. Now, why do you think that is? Why do you think that's the only thing they're good at? Well, that's it. You got something right for once. Because it's the thing they care about the most. For all their yapping on vaccination, they don't care whether or not anybody gets vaccinated. They know that if they get everybody vaccinated and it works, they're going to have to reopen things up. They don't want to do that. They just use the vaccine as the reason to hold everything off at 2020. Now actually rolling up their sleeves and going to the hard work of getting it. Oh, they don't want to get that done. The thing they most want to do is keep their power, which means win elections. They are incredibly focused on this. More so than Republicans are. Can you imagine the average Republican walking up to a kid that lives down the street who just turned 18 and started to talk to them about politics and trying to pressure them to vote for their side? Most people don't think it's their place to do it. They're too shy to do it. You think a Democrat would have any qualms of, oh, man, what do you mean? You're not going to vote for a, you know, what are you, a racist? What are you, a sellout? I spoke on yesterday's program about how it is that in most of these communities, overwhelming numbers of parents want the schools open, yet the schools remain closed. And the answer, of course, is that the parents don't know how to pressure the school officials because they could never engage in the kind of in-your-face tactics that the lefties do. We mentioned on yesterday's program the situation in Port Washington where hundreds of parents are showing up demanding that they reopen the schools and the school board's just blowing them off. School board's willing to blow off those parents because they figure, A, okay, they show up at this meeting, what are they going to do about it? But here's the key. How many of those parents who showed up at the school board meeting are running for the school board in the current election? I believe that there's only two challengers in that district to the current members of the school board, meaning they're all hacked off about this, but nobody's going to run against them. And the school board members know this. They know that the average conservative doesn't want to be on a school board, doesn't want to hear the crybaby whining from the teachers, doesn't want to put up with the school superintendents. I don't want to be all doom and gloomy on this, but If this year showed us anything, it's that you have to have power. Donald Trump had power, and the liberals were obsessed with taking it away from him. And it worked. And whether or not they did it legitimately or illegitimately, people can debate forever. But the end result is that they're not simply going to take power away from Trump. They are going to turn our country into a socialist nation, and they are going to be tyrannical about it and taking away our rights as we try to stop them. And we are entering a very, very new chapter in America, and it is very, very dangerous. And I'd like to tell you that everything's going to turn out fine, but I'm not going to tell you everything's going to turn out fine because I don't like to be dishonest about these things. Those of us who said that this election was critical and if the Democrats won everything, it would be devastating, can't suddenly take it all back and say it's not going to be devastating. So as people try to fight back, and that's what happened in Washington today, they're fighting back, trying to come up with some ways that they think are going to work, and they don't know what to do. And as I say, in terms of the violence that occurred at the Capitol, I think, and you're not going to get any of this, we need a fair amount of investigation as to exactly who it was that was doing what. There will be, again, a lack of media curiosity about that. They only like to run with things that complete their narrative, and they've got their narrative. Say, the Trump supporters are all goons. Look at what they did in Washington. That's the beginning, middle, and end of their coverage of this story. By the way, officials are now saying the Capitol building has now been secured. And the reason it's secured is almost everybody that was in it left. They walked out single file. And as to how they got in the first place, that will forever be a mystery to me. I just wouldn't think that you'd be able to just do that. I mean, Paul said they broke windows just like at Madison. Well, nobody had any tear gas. The guns were out. They must not have shot anybody. I guess it's the same thing that happens in Madison, that they stand there and they act like they're tough guys and they didn't do anything. But News Talk 1130 WISN, Mark Belling, late afternoon show. They've set this curfew for 6 o'clock, which is 5 minutes from now in Washington. Remember, they're on Eastern time. Think they'll enforce that curfew? They've been setting curfews all year all over this country, and they never enforce any of them. Paul said, no, they're not going to. This one, maybe they will. Like I said, this is the first one the media has called a riot all year. Get my side to do the same thing lefties do. It's amazing how the language just changes. It's also amazing how appalled people are when they see some Republicans doing the same thing that liberals have been doing an entire year. Now, the flip side of that is the hypocrisy of people who would defend conservatives for doing things that they've condemned liberals for. It does work, I grant you, both ways. Switch over to, we're going to switch to live coverage from Fox News Channel right now, and I'll tell you why as you pick up, move into this.
And I think it's very important for Congress to get this done, for the House and the Senate to come back together, for the objectors to stand down, and to go back to the standard prior to this. At least the conservative standard was that January 6th was always a ministerial meeting of Congress. It wasn't a meaningful forum to litigate or relitigate an election.
And now, the reason I wanted to cut to that is that's the congressman from northeastern Wisconsin, Gallagher, who's the closest thing we have in Wisconsin to a rhino, and he's one of the Republicans who is opposed to the objections that are being filed by House members, and he's saying, well, let's take advantage of this situation now. We need to get back into session. We need to certify the results. The people who are objecting need to back down. Look at all the trouble they've caused, so forth and so on. You could predict these narratives from 90 miles away. A, what happened today is all Trump's fault. B, you Republicans, stop stirring these things up. Look, you're going to have a riot and an insurrection. C, all of you just shut up and go away. In other words, all of the things that didn't happen for every other riot that occurred in the United States this year will suddenly be applied here. That's not exactly a hard prediction, is it? Do you think the Republicans should shut up and go away and drop their objections now or not? What do you think? Paul said, no, they should not. Well, should they drop the objection to the results and still try to certify Trump as the winner or not? Paul says he thinks so. The point that I do want to make And I want to make it clear that I'm not giving Trump a pass for his role in anything that's occurred before or after the election, because mistakes were made by him as well, and he's partly responsible for the train wreck that occurred in Georgia. Mitch McConnell's partly responsible for it. Georgia voters who didn't come out and vote are partly responsible. There's never... It's like when you lose a football game. I mean, occasionally, one player like drops a touchdown pass right in his hands, but there's usually a bunch of factors that come into play. So when an election is really, really close and a few votes here and a few votes there, Trump certainly, I think, deserves some level of criticism. And I think that one of the problems is, and I've heard a number of people make reference to this, that a lot of people actually thought that if they went to Washington, the Congress could overturn the result of the election. The Republicans don't control the House. So anything that happened in the House was simply going to be academic. If Republicans in the United States House object and vote not to certify the election, it still means that the election will be certified because the Republicans are in the minority. So when Trump created this impression that somehow the result could be reversed and that his side was still going to win, I think he raised the expectations of some of his supporters that they could actually get this done. Whereas the pathway for it to happen simply doesn't exist. Now, this other point, and everybody said, somebody was saying, oh, I feel sorry for Mike Pence. Oh, I don't feel sorry for Mike Pence. Come on. Is that Pence is in this situation in which he's being asked by the president and some of his supporters to refuse to certify Biden as the winner of the election. To simply refuse to accept the report from the electors. Pence has put out through the media, through leaks, that he doesn't have the authority to do that, that his only role is to simply pass the result to the House. Well, I'm not enough of a constitutional scholar to know what Pence's authority here on this is or it isn't. But what I do know is that Mike Pence is not going to take a piece of paper and take Biden's name off of it and put on Trump and said that Trump won. So if Trump has created the impression that that was going to occur, he did raise false expectations. And again, people could argue what should be done. I'm just saying that there was no scenario by which a bunch of people were going to go to Washington today and the Congress of the United States was suddenly going to declare Donald Trump to be the president of the United States. So if people thought that they were going to be able to do something other than raise their voices in protest, they were misled. Now, you had a huge number of people there, and all of those people think differently, and they think for themselves. I'm sure some were there to peacefully protest and demonstrate and have rallies the way they've been holding Trump rallies all along. I'm sure that there were others who thought that some change would occur, and as I've been saying throughout the program, I do believe it's likely that there were some people who aren't supporters at all of Trump in the middle of this thing egging people on. I don't know how many. I'm not going to say that there were no Trump supporters that caused trouble. I didn't say that. I'm just saying I think that there were people in the middle of this thing who wanted to agitate and egg things on, because as I watched, and I've been watching this all day, the only area, do you watch any of the coverage of this, the video? The only area where there was any commotion was right at the Capitol building. All the other stuff, all the blocks leading up to the Capitol, it was just people waving their flags and doing all the other things Trump supporters always do. It wasn't like people were, we've been watching riots for a year. Did you see anybody smashing out windows or anything, or busting anything up, or spitting at cops or any of the things? No. The only place there was trouble was within the Capitol itself. Oh, to see there, now they're showing some of it. Wouldn't you like to see who some of those people are that are jumping around shoving the cops? Paul says it's been confirmed there were Antifa people in the crowd. And that's what I'm saying. I hope they arrested a bunch of them so you can say who's doing what. The one thing I'll give Antifa, they're clever on this stuff. If you were Antifa, wouldn't you dress up like Trump supporters, go into the middle of this stuff, raise hell, and then have the Trump people get all, let the Trump people get all the blame? Well, see, they're good at this stuff. As I've been explaining, my side doesn't, we don't know how to riot. We don't know how to cause trouble. We're no good at it. We've never done this. Yeah, well, I mean, they're better at this kind of thing. So, I mean, if you see somebody acting peacefully, I bet he's a Trump supporter. You see somebody that's agitating and acting up, I want to know a little bit more about that. Or like maybe best case scenario, he voted for Trump, but he's like, he's never been at a MAGA rally in his life, and so forth and so on. And I'm again, when you have this number of people, there are so many things that are going to go on. But the media will establish a narrative here and will generalize this to the entire crowd. Now, they're going to say that that's what people like me have done with the protests that have gone on across the United States, that we've said that everybody that was in BLM was a rioter. But if you've been listening to me, I've never said that. I have referred to the violence that has occurred at the BLM and TPR riots and demonstrations in Milwaukee, Wauwatosa, and Madison, Kenosha. And I've tried to be accurate in describing what's occurred. What's that you have written on there? What's he tweeting about me right now? What is he saying I said? I mean, if he says I said what I said, then I said what he said. But what is he saying that I said? Well, yeah, I mean, come on. That I said only 250 made it to the Capitol, that said only 1,500. Maybe I did. I'm basing this on guesses as to what I saw. I don't know how many made it to the Capitol. Then I said that Antifa people could be hunting down Trump supporters tonight. I worry about what could happen. Well, I did say that. I described what? Go slower. Belling described today as a bungling, mostly peaceful protest by conservatives. I probably said that. What? Count me as unhorrified. On his WIBA 1130 show. Well, that wouldn't be the correct station. I'd have to go back and check whether or not I said all of those things that he said. But we all know what I said, and there's a podcast out here that's going to indicate what I said, and my comments that I've made throughout the show have obviously evolved. I hope he's not mixing me up with some of the comments that Vicky made, in which she so forth and so on. But I allow all of my comments, obviously, to speak for myself, and anybody who's listening to the show is aware of everything that I've said here on the program. You're aware of everything I've said on the program. Is there anything you want to add to my commentary that I've made? Oh, okay. And the comments will evolve as the day has gone on, and obviously some of the things that have gone on have gotten worse as the day has gone on, and I do remain troubled and wonder about what's going to happen tonight, and I hope that things don't get worse, and I hope that we can get through all of this and it doesn't get any worse than that. But I do stand by my comments that I think that the majority of the people at the Capitol were peaceful. And I think that the majority of the trouble occurred inside the Capitol and not the people that were actually in the city itself, as I just, I think, said. What does that mean? What video service do we provide? Oh, that's a reference to our TV? Oh. Well, now I know. We got a TV in the studio. So we're literally sponsoring that now. I swear my socks are going to end up being sponsored one of these days in here. I mean, everything is being sponsored. So that's what our video service is. I think people might be wondering how they can actually see video of us. We have to come into the studio and watch the television that we have in here. One of the things that we don't know about the Washington situation is how many people are there, because it's not like the charge admission. From the visuals that we've seen on television and the size of the crowd, it appears as though that there's a lot of people that are in D.C. And we've been talking all day about what happens after dark. And I don't, you know, nobody's got anything to do. And I would hope that they go home and go to the hotels or just stay inside or whatever. And things don't get any worse in terms of any trouble that's occurred. But Paul said, do you go out to a nice restaurant after a day of, you know, I don't even know what's open in Washington, D.C., for that matter. You know, you're also talking about the middle of winter, where it's not like people can just go stroll around to the Capitol Mall or anything. Plus, they've got a curfew that's in place. And so on. When all of this is done, the House of Representatives is going to figure out a way to reconvene. And as I was saying earlier, I don't even think they need to be in the House chambers in order to vote. They can vote any way they want. And there will be pressure on Republicans to drop their objections to the election. And everybody's supposed to just shut up and go away, which is the demands that have been made of people on the right, really, for a year now in the United States. And it's just not going to sit well with the people that feel as though that they're losing really every component of their country, and everybody can relate to it. When you see lawyers at Foley and Lardner being told that they can't defend the President of the United States, even as a volunteer, the next thing is for people to get fired from their jobs because people think that they were part of the MAGA protests or they supported Trump. And it's hard to take almost anything off the table in a country in which we've given health officers the ability to shut down businesses, in which kids have not gone to school, in some cases for nearly a year, and in which people, for exercising their rights to speak out, as Americans are called, monsters. Those of us who have tried to object to some of the tactics that have been used by the left all year, the BLM riots, the TPR demonstrations in Milwaukee, the insurrection that's occurred, the terrible violence in Madison and Kenosha, we're told to shut up and go away by people who feign outrage over certain demonstrations that occur and then are unbothered by others. It's a very, very difficult situation, and people are very frustrated and very angry, and they don't know what it is that they can do about it. And to some extent, President Trump has made matters worse. To some extent, he's made matters better. Like everybody else, he's a mixed bag. The end result of this is going to be this really, really fractured situation among American conservatives who feel as though they're losing their country, they're losing their society, they're losing their rights, and there's nobody who's standing up to speak for them. Nobody. Paul says Trump is now ripping Pence pretty harshly. Well, you knew that this was coming. You knew that Pence was not going to say Trump won the election. I mean, he's not going to do that, and that this break between the two of them would occur. And as I've been saying earlier, if Trump was raising the expectation that Pence was going to do that, he was setting Pence up. He was setting up his supporters to be disappointed. I mean, did you think Mike Pence was going to write a piece of paper and cross Biden's name out and put Trump on there? No, and not that many people think that he should either. I don't know what you're supposed to do if you think an election has been stolen, but as I've been trying to argue for some time, most of the problems that have been cited here about these elections were things that happened in broad daylight before November. I talked about the Democracy in the Park rally that I think was a voting thing in Madison that I thought was illegal, that Republicans didn't do anything to stop. We went from a state that had almost no mail-in votes to a majority of mail-in votes without a change in law that was passed by anyone in the state legislature. We had situations in which people were going out there and openly doing ballot harvesting with only one party being involved in it. You know, there are a lot of irregularities that have been occurring from the very, very beginning to this thing, but almost all of them could have been addressed before the election. And the one point that some Republicans in Wisconsin have made to me, and it's a valid one, is Donald Trump didn't do anything to stop any of this stuff before the election either. Now, it's asking a lot for one president to be focusing on things that are going on in 50 states. But certainly there's been a lot of objection to things after the fact that perhaps could have been addressed before the fact. And the same thing's going to happen in the postmortems that occur about who lost Georgia. Is it McConnell that lost Georgia? Was it Trump with his big mouth that lost Georgia? Was it Republican voters in Georgia who didn't get out who lost Georgia? And as a result, who ended up losing the Congress for the entire country? When you lose, everybody points fingers. And the Democrats are doing right now nothing but winning, so they're going to celebrate. And they do have the media, and they control the narrative that exists in this country. And as unfair as that is, it is the reality that we're going to have to figure out how to work our way through. Standing up for Milwaukee, this is the Mark Belling Late Afternoon Show on News Talk 1130 WISN. They have a curfew declared in Washington, D.C. And as I say, the problem with these curfews is that authorities generally don't know how to enforce them. What are you supposed to do? Start rounding up trillions of people? Hard to do after a day at the United States Capitol that has been chaotic, to say the least, including the Capitol itself being breached with people, apparently Trump supporters, busting into the Capitol and wandering around outside the chambers of the House of Representatives. Some were sitting in offices in the Senate. And so on. Apparently they came through windows and other things. But the thing that's just extraordinary to me about it is, it's not like this is the first time people have tried to cause trouble at the Capitol. And you never get inside the building. And I still don't know how this occurred, other than, you know, authorities don't like to use force. But, it did happen. There are many who are wondering who exactly these people are, and some are questioning whether or not it was all Trump supporters. Well, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But it is what it is. What we do know, though, is that there are a lot of people that are in Washington in response to the president's call to show up in Washington to supposedly stop the steal of the election, and they got nowhere to go. I mean, other than back to their hotels, I hope they all do have hotel rooms. Maybe some of them do, maybe some of them don't, but the longer that this goes on with people just milling around and hanging around, the worse. Now, there is a major show of security now in place. National Guardsmen in uniforms, guns, the whole thing. Lots of law enforcement. All the stuff that wasn't there earlier is there now. And there doesn't appear to be anything going on inside the Capitol building anymore. It's just the general area surrounding the Capitol where they're, you know, the media is referring now to this as riots. And as I was saying earlier in the program, if you're wondering what had to happen in order to get that word resurrected in the English language, it's the people on the right have to be associated with whatever it is that's going on, because that word has not been described throughout all of the rioting that we've seen in the United States this year. The where do we go from here component that's sort of been underlying all of today's program. In a weird way, I think that this makes it easier for Mike Pence to certify the results of the election, or at least pass along the name of Biden or whatever it is that he does with that result of the Electoral College, because a lot of people are going to demand that Trump supporters and Trump himself stop fueling all of this and start accepting as legitimate the results of the election. That'll be one of the things that comes probably as a result of this. And as I said earlier in the program, I don't know how Pence cannot do that anyway. I mean, unless you're simply going to have elections in which whichever side has the vice presidency at the time just comes out and says that our side won, lacking any actual proof or any ruling or any order from anybody else, that yeah, it would happen every time. And I it's not like the Democrats need to learn any lessons on cheating from the Republicans, but if our side could just say, hey, we won, then they'd probably would say that they won each time around. And it's not to say that you can't ever have a situation where an Electoral College result can't be rejected. It did happen in 1876 when they kind of stole the election from Samuel Tilden. But the whole problem here with regard to the objections that have been raised by Republicans and Trump is that there's a lot of evidence of irregularities, but no proof that Trump won any of the states that he lost. And the difference between evidence and proof is just that. And what many conservatives, including myself, have been demanding is that somebody look into the evidence so we can learn for certain one way or another as to whether or not there was an illicit result. In Wisconsin, I keep pointing out that we don't have any proof at all that Biden didn't win that state, but it doesn't mean that you didn't have at least 20,000 illegal votes cast. We just lack the proof for it. But it would sure be nice if somebody tried to look into and check some of those 1.5 million names and start going through them to see whether or not everybody is an actual resident of the state who is listed as having voted. So I guess part of this is, I think after all of this is said and done, and hopefully we can get through the night without any more incidents, that the consensus among Republicans is, well, we better move on. We can't let this get any worse. We've got to come together as a country, so forth and so on. All the stuff that doesn't happen in the past when the result is the other way around. One other point that I want to make before I move to a different component of this. After the election in 2016, when there were riots all over the country following the victory by Trump, and you remember the stuff that happened in cities and so on, the difference there was is that it tended to be disorganized violence that occurred sporadically around the country, as opposed to this situation that was based in Washington. And the area where Trump is going to get criticism is Trump asked people to come. In defense of Trump, Trump didn't ask people to come and riot. He asked people to come, and I don't believe that the vast majority of people who came today rioted. If some people did, and if some people did things that were violent and inappropriate, obviously that's a problem. We're going to have to, and I, as I said, I hope these people were arrested so we can find out exactly who they are. Have you gotten any impression as to how many people they did arrest today? I've seen no report on that at all. In the same way that we've seen no reports really on any specifics or names or identities really of anything. I thought it was very odd when the Capitol was being cleared that people were just being allowed to walk out of the building. And Paul and I were both commenting when we were seeing the video when people were, they were walking out single file. Well, if you're not allowed to go into the building, how come none of them got arrested for breaching the security line? Wasn't that weird to you? Other than it's just generally part of what's been happening with protests and riots and demonstrations all over the country this year, where authorities just seem incapable of enforcing the law when people have been violating it. Look, Paul said he was hoping, no, 2021 is going to be worse and 2022 will be even worse than that. Do you want me to somehow just delude you and to say, oh, don't worry, we're going to turn the page and now that we're run by the Democrats entirely, everything's going to be wonderful in this country? Oh, it's likely to be worse. Well, oh. I mean, what if you're a lefty? Do you think things would be better? They think they'll be better. Well, in order for them to be better, though, they have to stop doing all the things they're doing. They have to start reopening things and letting us go to concerts and sporting events and letting kids go back to school. And they, you know, we can't have things better until they're the one. You know, most of the things that have been all screwed up are the things that they shut down and they closed off. And if they say that the answer is these vaccines, they're the ones that have to get them rolled out now. As said in yesterday's program, you watch. The states that are going to have the slowest rollout are all going to be ones with Democratic governors. Shouldn't say all. Most. That's a better way of putting it. Most. Will Biden use Fauci? I assume Biden will use Fauci. Every president has used Fauci since, like, Abe Lincoln. He's been in that job forever. Yeah, it is time to move on. Wouldn't that be the ultimate kicker? See, nobody even knows exactly what Fauci's job is. He appears not to report directly to the president. He's just always sort of been. Maybe he doesn't even have a job. Maybe he just showed up and said, this is my gig, and nobody actually checked to see if that was his role. News Talk, 1130 WISN, Mark Belling, late afternoon show. Just watching some video here of what's been going on in Washington. Some of it now is starting to show up from amateur isn't the right word, but non-regular news media types. In other words, people that have a following on social media that go to events like this and come back with video. There was some really compelling stuff during the Seattle riots earlier this year, and there was a young man who came in and provided very compelling video from the trouble that occurred in the city of Wauwatosa and so on. And one of the things that they do that you don't see most news organizations do yet, and I don't know why they don't, is they're doing this stuff off of their cell phones. Yet when TV stations send their crews in, they're still, you know, the photographers still have these big giant cameras on their back and so on. They can't get anywhere near the places that people that are just having their cell phones. Given how good these cell phone cameras now are, wouldn't you think that more news organizations would simply have their reporters use that video and show it? It's much you see what I'm saying, don't you? You can get it out there quicker, and you can also go places where, you know, they're going to see somebody with a big camera and they're not going to let them get anywhere near something. But if somebody has just got their phone, they can walk amid everyone else and they're able to gift you much better images. Anyway, I don't know exactly where that one was, but they showed a bunch of people that were shoving against one of those small metal fences, and there were law enforcement in riot gear on the other side trying to hold them back. And it's the kind of thing that we've seen all year. What, of course, has been different here is that this has been done under the guise supposedly of supporting President Trump. And whether or not this is the new normal in the United States or not, I don't know. But it's not the type of country that I think most of us want to live in. And as I say, we've been putting up with it from people on the left forever and ever and ever, and now the shoe is on the other foot, and the demonstrations are supposedly being done in the name of President Trump, and I don't know how it ends. How does it end? Paul says it doesn't. The inauguration comes, I think... that there's a pretty good chance that the inauguration won't have a lot of trouble associated with it, because after this, this might have been the last straw in terms of Yeah, and Trump did say come to Washington. And I, so is this Trump's fault? What's your opinion? Paul says it's not Trump's fault. He didn't say come to Washington and cause trouble. And the other thing is, I've been watching MAGA rallies all year. Have you seen any with any trouble? None. Paul said there's more evidence of Antifa being here. And again, I don't know. I want to stress, I don't know if Antifa was in the middle of this or not. That's why I said, I hope they arrested people so we can get into some of the backgrounds of who these people are. But, you know, and I don't want to sound like the lefties who said after Minneapolis, well, you're saying all of our people who are protesting and are in the streets were violent. But I mean, I know people that were, Dan O'Donnell's in-laws were there. They weren't, you know, they're 97 miles away and standing in the back. They weren't in the middle causing any of this. They just wanted to go there and demonstrate in support of President Trump and do so peacefully. It was the people on the front lines. And when I say front lines, literally that, the ones that got to the Capitol building, that got to the fences and so on. And yeah, broke the windows, a select few got in and, you know, you know, it just, it's reminiscent to what I've seen in Madison. And if we can get anywhere positive out of this, I'd sure hope that the people who are condemning this are condemning all of the insurrection and violence and rioting that we have going on in the country, Ed. Well, Paul said, like I am today, and I, you know, I want it all to be, I want, as I've said in everything else, I want everybody who does these sorts of things to be treated the same. What's unacceptable for people on the right needs to be what's unacceptable for people on the left. And vice versa. We need to hold to the same standard. You know, and if we have, and so far, we haven't had a lot of trouble in Kenosha in the wake of the Jacob Blake ruling, and perhaps part of that is the time of the year. It also may be because they can't blame this on any Republican. Everybody involved in the decision to clear the police officer in Kenosha was a Democrat, including, you know, Noble Ray, who spoke forever, the former police chief in Madison, African-American, one of the most liberal law enforcement experts in the United States. He made the recommendation to clear the officer. Michael Gravely, the district attorney in Kenosha County, is a Democrat, and the State Division of Criminal Investigation is part of the administration of Attorney General Josh Call, who's a Democrat. There is one point that I want to circle back to, though, on the Blake story, and it was one that I've been very careful about discussing now for really ever since this incident went on. We've never known for certain whether or not Blake had a knife. The police said that he did, but we never saw any video that indicated that he did, because the video that was shot by the bystander, you couldn't see what was going on inside the car. Now, the press conference that occurred, or at least the briefing that occurred yesterday from the DA in Kenosha County, occurred when I was on the air, and we carried the beginning of it, but I didn't carry all of it, and therefore I didn't hear his descriptions on the knife, but I'm able to report on it now. Michael Gravely said that the evidence was conclusive that Blake had a knife, and in fact, he said Blake admitted that he had a knife. That's the first concrete statement I have heard in which it has been definitively said once and for all that Jacob Blake was armed. Remember all of the people who said the police in Kenosha shot an unarmed man? Michelle Goss, the head of Kohl's, put out that statement in which she said she was sickened to see police shooting an unarmed man. Well, she didn't know that at the time. It was unclear. Well, now that this investigation is over, it is clear. Now, maybe some people, when they say unarmed, mean gun. He had a knife. And we know that he had a knife. And I would hope, at the very least, that this ends this. You talk about false narratives, that the Blake situation was the shooting of an unarmed man. It was the shooting of a man with a knife. Was he shot in the back? Apparently. Was he armed? Yes, he was. So we at least have some definitive statement with regard to that. Now, there are a number of people who are talking about the protests that occurred at Marquette last night. We're kind of, it's almost like we've been immunized against being outraged over protests by liberals over things, and people bashing police have become such a common thing. I'm rather unbothered by the fact that the Marquette players and coaches took a knee before the game. Are you bothered by it? Paul says he is all the time. And the reason I didn't say I'm completely unbothered. I said relatively unbothered. They're college students and they're speaking for themselves as college students. I am surprised that not one person on the team had a differing point of view. And I've made the same comment with regard to some of the stuff in the NFL. Wouldn't you think that on a school, in a school like Marquette, there'd be at least one person supportive of police and would be supportive? And remember that the decision to clear the officer was made by three Democrats. The DA, Noble Ray, and the Attorney General of the state are all Democrats, that at least one of them would have chosen not to participate. Here, the other part of the story is the decision to turn Blake into some sort of a hero. Without regard to whether or not the police shooting was correct or not, this is a guy who had an arrest warrant out for him for domestic violence. The police were responding to a 911 call that had a domestic violence component to it for a man that had a warrant for his arrest for not showing up for court hearings pertaining to an earlier domestic violence situation with regard to the same person. Now, whether a person's an axe murderer or a Cub Scout, the police still can't wrongly use lethal force against him. But the way in which we describe the nature of who the person is, that's the part that should be affected. So whatever your take on the whole Blake situation is, do understand that the reason that they responded in the first place is because he had a warrant out for domestic violence. And guys that engage in domestic violence are not good people. And people who don't show up for court hearings and people who don't respond to warrants for their arrest are not good people. Paul says that there are these rumors about the Bucks game tonight. All I've heard is rumors. I have no indication that there's going to be any change in tonight's Bucks game. I mean, like I said, with regard to the objection, if they're complaining now about this, who are they complaining to? Are they complaining about the Democratic district attorney in Kenosha County? Are they complaining about the Democratic former police chief in the city of Madison? If they have a grievance over this, who do they have the grievance with? The one thing that apparently is not going to occur as a result of this is we're never going to see a video of the actual shooting itself. I mean, you see the officer backing out and the shots coming, but you never really see Blake's body during the time that this was going on. And I wish we would see it. The fact that the officer has been cleared, though, means that it's, I guess, no longer an issue. Remember, there will be a civil suit in which all of these things are brought up, and Blake's family and lawyers are going to be suing the police officer and probably the city of Kenosha and so forth and so on. And I also don't think that there's been a statement made one way or another as to whether or not there's going to be disciplinary action from the Kenosha police toward the officer not committing a crime and the action being proper law enforcement use of force are two separate things, which the DA gravely tried to point out yesterday. This is not a peaceful world we live in anymore, is it? No. It never has been. It's more chaotic, though, than ever. And I think the reason it's more chaotic than ever is that we don't have any shared values as a nation. Well, yeah, well, you're right. We're not seeing terrorist attacks or ISIS or any of those things because Trump pretty much put an end to it. No, the problems that we are facing now are largely internal. And what's going to happen when we have a new regime in place in Washington? Again, nobody really knows the answer to that. Certainly you're going to be seeing a different relationship with China, and whether or not we have a different relationship with the rest of the world, I don't know. There are a lot of people that are talking about this whole Saudi versus Iranian thing, and Biden has said that he's going to resurrect the Iranian nuclear deal and put that thing right back together, and whether or not that changes any tensions in the Middle East or not, those are all things that we don't know the answer to. We wait with bated breath. News Talk 1130 WISN, Mark Belling, late afternoon show. It's taken a while, but, you know, I've been on the air during this time, and I've been, you know, the monitor that we have here is to Fox, and we've just not seen much video of people inside the Capitol, and some of it is now coming out, and it's clearly been taken not by the news media, but by people that were in there themselves, and, I mean, it's troubling stuff. You see people yelling and screaming and shoving on the cops, and it's, again, it's not easy being a police officer, and I think they never show enough force. And I think that, I don't know, should they have done more to stop these people from getting into the Capitol? What do you think? One person was shot. You can't unload on citizens if they're breaching security lines. I just wish that we had more video from inside so you could get a better feel for what happened. Because, in watching the video for much of the afternoon, we were seeing things from the outside. That's all I could see. And when, other than right up on the steps itself, the crowd, like from the lawn and all the way back, they were all peaceful, just waving their flags and so on. But the ones that got inside clearly raised hell. And like I say, is it possible that not all of them were Trump supporters? Yeah, it is possible. I don't have any proof of that. I mean, Paul keeps saying that there's proof that there are Antifa people that were there today, but I haven't seen that. I don't know that any of them were the ones that got inside the building, but I don't care if you're on the left or the right. If a cop tells you to stop, you stop. And, it is true. They're going to lump together. And let's suppose there were 300,000 people that went to Washington today, and I don't know what the number is. They're going to create the impression that this was all 300,000 people who acted out in this fashion, and it clearly was not. And I understand that people have said that people like me have made the same comments with regard to BLM and other protests, that I try to lump everybody together, and, well, you can't do that. I mean, you feel for some of the people that might be wrongly lumped in with other people who acted like jackasses, and I'm now seeing this is the first images I've seen of a hose. Did you see that? A police showing hoses. I'm on the air and looking at things out of the corner of my eye, but in some of the video they put up the credit to, like, this person posted on Twitter and so forth and so on, that it's been seen. And, I mean, law enforcement showed restraint, and while the Capitol was breached, it wasn't like any lawmakers were, I don't think, attacked. And again, I'm live on the air here, and I'm speaking on things that I don't know everything about went on. I just have the greatest concern about this evening, and I don't know. I just think people should go to wherever they're supposed to be staying for the night, the hotels, and just get inside. I mean, it appears it's clearing out on the Capitol. Paul's right about that. What we don't see is the whole other area of the Washington Mall and so on, and where people are. And yeah, I don't know if it's brewing and simmering. And, you know, we've seen this stuff from the stuff on the left all summer, that it's brewing and simmering, and you just fear that things blow up, as it did in Kenosha and it did in Minneapolis. And I don't want that to happen in Washington. And I hope that it doesn't, and I don't think that the vast majority of Trump supporters who are there are capable of doing that, because I've seen how they've behaved all along. But there are obviously agitators that are part of this thing that have, well, now that's the first video I've seen of them coming through the windows. And that's, again, that's one of those amateur video guys. It says BG on the scene. That's a guy that uses his cell phone as opposed to a big giant TV camera, and you know, people like that are able to get closer, and they're showing them busting through the window to get in. Well, Paul says that's, yeah, and there are people that do that. They do. They're kind of like amateur, not amateur isn't the right word, but freelance. That's the right word. Freelance reporters who go out and post things on social media, that go to things like this, and they get into the middle of these crowds, and yeah, they post on Twitter and so on, and they may be sponsored, and there you see people climbing the walls and so on to get in. These are all things that Paul says he looks up at this, and it seems like that we're, yeah, a third world country or something like that. And, you know, I've had that impression all summer with all the stuff that's gone on in the left in Minneapolis, where they wouldn't defend their city and so on. And you've got anger now on both sides. The anger on the left has been matched by some of the anger that's on the right, and the level of frustration that is occurring, that has been building for some time, is not going to go away. If I know anything, though, it's that you're not going to see anywhere near as much violence from people on the right as you've seen from people on the left, because almost everybody on the right is opposed to it, as I am and as Paul is and so on. And I just don't think most people who were there today wanted to be involved in that sort of thing, but clearly some people did. Paul said they were carrying flags, not burning them. That's true, which would imply that they, some of them were Trump supporters. And you always, in any event, you have to worry about the people that are at the front of the line rather than the back of the line, because there's a reason why some people want to be at the front of the line. All right. Cold Hard Cash Contest, texted word for this hour. Well, this word is pretty easy. The word is easy. E-A-S-Y, easy. You have until 6:55 to text an easy to 200-200. Instantly win $1,000 in cash. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. I want to make one comment here in this segment about the school closing story that I addressed on yesterday's program. We spent a lot of time using one school district that has moved to a closed, where the schools are closed and they're doing it online. That's Port Washington, Saukville. And many parents showed up at the school board meeting to complain about this, and they've organized themselves through Facebook, and they are very, very upset and they're angry. And as I said on yesterday's program, I know that this is the same sentiment that you see all over the region in areas where schools are closed. What I've picked up on is that the anger is the greatest in areas where the community right next door has the schools open. I believe, and I don't know which ones are hybrid and which are in 5 days a week as opposed to four. It's hard to keep track of all of them. But you have three school districts, all in the same general area here in southern Milwaukee County, right in the area around where our radio station is. You have Greenfield, Greendale, and Whitnall. Whitnall covers a portion of the west side of Greenfield and Hales Corners. And they've got the big high school out there. Then there's Greenfield and there's Greendale. And they're all different in terms of whether they're in school or they're not in school. And again, I don't know which ones are all in which category, but I've been hearing from so many people wondering why the kid that lives two blocks away is able to go to school, but their kid has to stay home learning in front of the computer. Obviously, the health numbers that you're talking about aren't going to be radically different two blocks apart. The answer, of course, has to do with who's governing which schools. The people on school boards and school administrators that are committed to providing a quality education as their highest priority, they're going to keep the schools open. If you want the schools to be open and they're not, you have to get control of your school board. The arguments that we've been making about the presidential election and via, through yesterday, who controls the United States Senate, you can't do anything in this country or in your community without power. And one of the real problems that we have is that a lot of people in our society, on the right, my side, don't want to have power. If you're a conservative and you're in local government, you get a lot more grief than if you're a liberal in local government. Just think about the community that you all live in. Would you want to be on the school board in your community? The teachers constantly complaining, they're all liberals, and then parents complaining about this, that, and the other thing, and then having to control administrators. And anytime you try to do anything from the left, you get objection. If you're the one member of the school board that doesn't want to put the referendum on the ballot, or you're the one that wants to not let them do the lefty curriculum, or you're the one that's opposed to this kind of Marxism that they put in place, it is constantly abuse. So you end up with my side objecting only when a decision is made that they don't like. I don't have a solution for this other than we need more conservatives to get involved in local government and local school boards that have passion. The wrong kind of passion is a bunch of people fighting inside the Capitol building today. The correct kind of passion are those people who are MAGA supporters and so on, who wave the flags, that have gone out there and done everything they could in terms of actively participating in their democracy. We do not want to devolve into the kind of chaos that the left has produced in this country with the BLM protests and so many of the other protests all year. That's not the answer. In terms of what's going on in the schools, I am hearing so many problems from parents citing their kids are depressed, their kids aren't learning, their kids feel a sense of alienation. And they've been given no hope by their school officials as to when they can get their kids back into school. Well, we've lost any ability to control what's going on at the national level. we still in the Wisconsin have the ability to control what's happening at the local level. And if we can get our legislature to develop some backbone, some input into what's going on in state government, you fight the battles that you have the opportunity to win, but there's still an obligation to fight the battles using appropriate tactics. And it's hard to get anything done if you don't have any power. And the thing that has motivated the left, and it's the reason that they're so good at winning elections, is they want to get power. The fact that they also control the media has given them control of the forms of communication that we have, and it results in very, very raw deals and very, very strong double standards that are in place where one side gets to do something and the other side isn't. There is no answer for that long term. The easiest problems to solve, though, are at the local level. And if you're in a community where you need to get your kids back into school, you need to find people that are running for the school board in the coming elections that are committed to reopening the schools now, and you need to get them elected. And if nobody has that position when they're running for the school board, well, you see what the problem is. If you all want the schools reopened, but none of you are willing to recruit anybody to run for the school board to keep the schools open, we've kind of defined what the problem is. What an exhausting show today, and an exhausting day, and an exhausting time in the United States of America. We've not gotten any statement from the House. Maybe Paul's picked up on this. Has the House of Representatives said when they're going to come back to session and schedule this vote that they're planning to come back tonight? Well, that would make some sense. And one point I want to make about that, for people that are wondering how they're getting these people in and out, they have that security system that's been reported on in the past where House members are able to move underground. In fact, that's how they go from the office buildings to the Capitol itself. They've got that kind of underground system that connects the various buildings that are in place, so they don't have to walk into the front door through the middle of what's going on. They use the tunnels all day, and that's how they move around. And they probably need to get back into session. And well, I'm not looking forward to ratifying Joe Biden as the president of the United States. I do think you can't let protesters stop government from functioning. So they need to get back in there, and the people that are going to file the objections and make the arguments that you make. But you can't let our government be stopped by people on the left or the right just deciding that they're going to take the law into their own hands. And they're showing them busting those windows again. Again, that's that BJ on the scene guy that got that video. Now there's, that's pushing, is that another part inside the building? Yeah. Wouldn't you love to know who those people are that are throwing those punches? And as I say, if they're all a bunch of Trump supporters, well, we don't need them on our side. And if they're not, it would be nice to know that as well. Like I say, most of the people that went to Washington are moms and dads and people who lived on the street and so on, and they were not people that were engaging in violence. And while some information is still trickling in, I have heard of no trouble anywhere other than the Capitol building itself. Nothing on the streets, nothing in this. The parade was blocks and blocks long. This wasn't like what you saw in Seattle where they were busting out windows and so on. It was only these people in the front, and they only seemed hell-bent on causing trouble when they got to the Capitol building themselves. News Talk 1130 WISN, Mark Belling, late afternoon show. Still watching some of the video from the Capitol. There's still a lot of people milling around outside. It's hard to get a perspective when you watch the TV as to whether or not that's the people you're seeing are the only ones that are there if it goes on for block after block after block after block after block. And well, now they're doing a pan shot there. It sure seems like it's cleared out significantly more than it did earlier in the day. And we're getting, Paul makes a very good point. The entire Capitol's got all these closed circuit cameras in there, the security videos and so on. We haven't seen any of the official video from those cameras. And when we see those, we're going to get a lot more images. But clearly the images that I'm seeing now that were shot by, there's another one, somebody called Susan Schaeferly, Blaze TV, who apparently was using a cell phone. It was pretty ugly stuff that went on for the people who actually tried to get inside the building. As I said, I don't know what they thought that they were going to accomplish. One point about the blame that's going to be directed to President Trump and other conservatives over this. Whenever liberals engage in violence, riots, and so on, such as you saw with anti-police demonstrations across the country, Seattle, Portland, and so on, no liberal officials are ever held to account for the incendiary statements that they make that fuel that. after the George Floyd situation when Minneapolis burned, how many people who criticized all police were blamed for the actions of the violent protesters? But if anything ever happens from the right that is untoward, everybody on the right is blamed for that, for supposedly fueling the crowd. In other words, one group is always held to account to defend their statements, even if they didn't engage in any improper actions themselves. Whereas people on the left always get a total pass. They can say whatever they want. People then go out and engage in terrible things. And they, well, that wasn't me that did that. With regard to the politics of this, this might weaken President Trump in this battle within conservative politics and the Republican Party, in that some people might now, who don't support Trump, be able to say, see, look what Trump's incendiary rhetoric gets you. This is the sort of thing that it leads to. Even if 99% of Trump supporters don't engage in violence and are merely patriotic American citizens. Anyway, I'm going to be off tomorrow. My medical stuff continues. You know what I'm doing tomorrow? Do you know about this? You heard that it's dental work. What's the worst kind of dental work? You've had dental work, haven't you? Not a root canal. That's not the worst. The worst I've ever had were wisdom teeth. Was that, have you had wisdom teeth taken? Paul said, by the worst. That was the worst I ever had. I've had root canals in the past. In fact, I've had a lot of them. They're different. It depends on how much of the root. Paul said his was nothing. I've had some that were nothing and some that were bad. The problem with this one that I'm having is they have to take out my entire nerve and go into the bone and all of this because it's way in the back and so on. Paul said when the numbing wears, all I know is that I want to get a lot of the numbing. I want to get a lot of the numbing. If they want to put masks over my head, if they want to knock me out between now and the end of 2057, I'm perfectly in favor of all of that. Paul says, ask for that as much as possible. I mean, so I'm kind of like one of those guys in the bar that, you know, gets hacked off if they get a short pour. That's what I should. Well, I actually, my body is sort of immune to this sort of thing. I need a quadruple dose of that. Can you jack that up on me on this? Yeah, the thing is, often though, that numbing shot you get, that's often the worst pain when they first put it in the first time. I don't, it's the one thing I can tell you about root canals, and then I'll shut up about it, we'll move on, is the worst ones are in the back of the mouth. Rather, you get one like in the front couple of teeth, that's a nothing. This one's way in the back, and they got to dig in there. And yeah, so I just need my endodontist to get a good night's sleep or whatever. And hope it's not a lefty or anything, you know. Yeah, I heard your comments about All right. Out of time for today's program. I will be football preview. Will be hosted by Jerry Bott tomorrow, as he and Mike Verlet will be on. We don't have a Packer prediction to make because they're not playing this weekend. Do you see any upsets coming this weekend? When I say upsets, I don't mean a lower seed winning, but a team maybe that's an underdog in the point spread. I really don't. If I had do you have a favorite pick that you'd like to make that we can throw out here? I kind of think Pittsburgh kills Cleveland. I think Pittsburgh got themselves back on the right foot. I mean, they almost won that game in the final week of the season that Cleveland needed, that Pittsburgh didn't. So, yeah, there's that. Paul thinks the Bears get killed. Yeah, I don't know about that. Tampa Bay probably wins. Anyway, I'll be back Monday. Bye.